Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Cammy and Gabe, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Welcome back to What's Up Peoria. This is Gabe here talking.
And Cammy.
We have a special episode this week. In honor of Veterans Day coming up November 11th, we've asked on two guests whose phenomenal work continually supports our community, particularly our veterans. We'd like to welcome Joe Greco from the Travis Mannion Foundation and Peoria's very own decorated Veterans Board member and Marine vet, Tad Snitakor. Welcome to the show, you two. Now you can each share a little bit about yourselves for our listeners.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Gabe and Cammy. I live out here in Phoenix area. I'm new to Arizona. Moved out here from a little brief stint in Tennessee, but I'm originally from New Jersey, and I came out here for the Travis Mannion Foundation. So I am not a veteran myself, but I obviously work for a veteran service organization. I've been involved in that community for a long time, going back to my New Jersey roots, and now I'm happy to represent the foundation here in Arizona, and I'm even happier that and honored to be a part of your podcast.
Thank you so much, Joe. And how about you, Tad? A little bit about yourself.
Well, Gabe, I was raised here in Mesa, Arizona. I went in the Marine Corps in 1988, got out in 2008, so 20 years in the Marines. Decided to retire in Arizona, found myself out in Buckeye, got a great job with Tri-West Healthcare Alliance. I think we're going to talk a little bit later about the distress line. And so in order to get closer, it was a long drive, about an hour and a half, and I had a girlfriend at the time that lived out here in Peoria, so I decided to buy a home out here. So I moved out here in 2013 and soon became a board member.
Well, congratulations again. And yeah, 20 years in the Marine Corps. You're a first sergeant, is that right?
I was a first sergeant. Yeah. I'm out now. And so that's all right. I mean, they do that. They call us by first sergeant a lot when I'm out in town, but I tell them, hey, I'm out now, you know. Now, the Marine Corps might not think I'm out, and I might share something with you guys later on that.
Okay. Yeah. We'd love to hear that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Cammy.
And we're excited to have you. Thanks for coming on. And without further ado, I say we dive into our conversation, and let's start with Joe here.
Sure.
So, Cammy, if you'd like to start off.
Yeah, so one of the things that I noticed right away on the website, of course, we've worked with the Travis Mannion Foundation for a couple of years now. You guys have helped us with some of our service projects for our Veterans Day ceremony. But in preparation for this interview and just kind of getting a more in-depth knowledge of what you guys do before we spoke today, the first thing I noticed, of course, was that very significant quote that's on the website that says, if not me, then who? And I mean, honestly, even like just now I say it and it gives me goosebumps a little bit and it gets me emotional.
Which is great.
Yes. Just because I think it invokes a sense of accountability and responsibility and to do the right thing, which I think is huge. And that just pairs so beautifully with service and offering yourself up for the greater good. So I definitely wanted to ask you more on that and just where does that come from and why is it such a centric part of the Travis Mannion Foundation?
Yeah, sure. Before I get into it, I want to acknowledge how emotional you are just by talking about that. I love, right? Because that's, we all should be like that, right? Because it is a powerful statement. It is a powerful ethos and there is a story behind it and it's a powerful story. So you should be emotional. And I say that because I'm an emotional guy. So if I end up crying, that's, don't be surprised.
But I might have to run some, get some tissues.
I know, it's like, we need tissues in here.
But yeah, so the story goes, Travis Mannion, lost his life in 2007, right? So he was a Marine, and the story is the Mannion family is from the Philadelphia area, Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and they are like everyone in the, let's say, southeastern Pennsylvania, south New Jersey area. They're all crazy Philadelphia sports fans. Very passionate. I'm a New York Mets fan, so I can call them crazy passionate. But alas, they were at a Philadelphia Eagles game. Travis was with his brother-in-law, and it was shortly before his second deployment to Iraq. and his brother, they were leaving the stadium, and his brother-in-law said to him, you know, hey, Trav, if I were to trip you and you fell down these steps and you broke your ankle, you wouldn't be able to deploy, right? And Travis, you know, straightened up a little bit and, you know, kind of got that stern face and was kind of like, you're right. You know, I wouldn't be able to deploy. But I'm trained for it. I know the mission. I know the men. I've been there already. This is my duty. So if not me, then who? Someone less trained, someone not familiar with the mission, someone who can endanger my men, endanger themselves, endanger our troops. So if not me, then who? Tremendous, right?
Yeah.
Bravery on that part, just to think that way, right? Fast forward, unfortunately, right? Travis's brother-in-law's intuition was correct. Mm-hmm. He did end up losing his life on that second deployment. But he did so living up to those words of if not me, then who? Right? He did so by saving two of his brothers from sniper fire. He ran in and saved their lives and sacrificed his own. Right? So it's one thing to say those words, mm-hmm. but it's a whole nother level to actually act upon those words. And that's one thing that I say a lot to, you know, and we'll talk about it later, but the youth that we speak with, mm-hmm. It's one thing to have good character. It's another thing to act on that character. It's one thing to have good morals. Another thing to actually put those morals into action. It's one thing to believe in community service. Another thing to actually participate in community service. Mm-hmm. And Travis, that's the kind of person Travis was.
Yeah.
And now a movement, the foundation has taken off since that as a result of his legacy.
Wow.
It's a very powerful philosophy to impart, you know, especially not just in the young folks who participate, but everybody who comes in contact with the foundation. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for carrying that out.
Yeah, of course.
I liked to hear a little bit of the backstory that even wasn't available on the website in terms of the brother-in-law at the game and stuff, because I think it gives everyone a little bit more insight of what it's like to send your loved ones off onto something like that. And the thought going through your head is, hey, if you break your ankle, that means you can't go, right? I mean, it's like, got to take a deep breath from that too. But
You know, and we've, you know, and Tad understands this, right? You know, 20-year Marine, mm-hmm. you know, and just speaking at least since 9/11, right? The GWAT veterans, right? Mm-hmm. It's been nonstop war, right? Yeah. So there's a little, at least I think, there's a little desensitization that's taken place regarding war. It's just war. It just happens, right? But war is very real. Mm-hmm. And people losing their lives is very real, right? And the impact that has on friends and families and the communities and the world in general is a very real thing that we have to recognize. And, you know, so that's another reason why I appreciate being on a podcast like this is speaking about it.
Yeah.
Because even though it's upsetting and even though it's a unfortunate necessity sometimes in the world.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Yeah. All around tragic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you for that. And I wanted to ask too, so, and I understand that the Travis Mannion Foundation strives to provide veterans who are experiencing sort of a lack of direction or purpose, especially following coming back home, just getting those feelings back, you know, especially after being in that sort of structure for so long. And we see that on your website, leadership, volunteer work, community building. These are really great, like, frameworks for re-empowering these folks, and it's very admirable. I kind of wanted to ask, could you describe what kind of some of these programs look like for participating veterans?
Yeah, sure. So I'll start off by giving you the mission, right? Mm-hmm. The mission from a formal standpoint is empowering veterans and families of the fallen and families of fallen heroes to develop character and leadership in the younger generation. Yeah. The way I like to put it, you know, that's the formal speak, is putting incredible people with incredible life experience and character and leadership traits in front of the people and the areas that need it, right? And that's, in my opinion, the youth, right? The younger, the earlier you get to people, mm-hmm. right, the better, right? Yeah. Before it's too late, mm-hmm. essentially, right? So putting them in front of the youth and just out in the communities, right? So ways we do that, programs, our Character Does Matter program, which is my favorite, or one of two of my favorite programs. We do a lot of things at the Travis Manion Foundation. Mm-hmm. But just the name, Character Does Matter, right, kind of says it all a little bit, because it does matter. And just like Travis being big in the little things, having that mentality, mm-hmm. Mattered, because he saved lives as a result, right? And as a result of that act, he has saved countless other lives since 2007 with this foundation, mm-hmm. right, in his namesake.
Yep.
But the Character Does Matter program, what it is, essentially we train mentors through personal development and leadership and courses, and we put them in front of the youth, right? Whether it's in schools, mm-hmm. Youth clubs, you know, boys and girls clubs, sports teams, martial arts studios, you name it, where there's kids, our goal is to put people like Tad in front of them to talk about character and the importance of it. Mm-hmm. And that's all under the basis of positive psychology. Mm-hmm. There's 24 character traits, you know, things like perseverance, teamwork, yep. leadership.
Integrity.
Yes.
Ethics.
Yes. Yeah. You know, self-regulation, humor, curiosity, yep. things like that.
Yep.
All important parts of all of our lives. Mm-hmm. But we use that as the foundation to discuss leadership and character.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Can I ask how you identify those locations? Like you said, you know, you're identifying areas that you know you want to get this mentorship program to the youth. How does Travis Manion Foundation identify those types of areas?
Yeah, so good question. We take any area that's interested and we go there.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very straight to the point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They know their kids. The areas that you're, is it done through schools a lot of the time?
Most of the time.
Okay. Yeah. Or I was thinking maybe organizations like Big Brother, Big Sister and like ones that are already working with youth mentorship and stuff are probably good connections as well.
Yeah. I mean, schools are just the natural fit, right?
Yeah.
Because we have, you know, it's a lot of students and kids mobilized, mm-hmm. Ready to learn, right? So it's a natural kind of fit. Some schools are more hesitant to bring in outside people, mm-hmm. But it should be noted that any Character Does Matter mentor that volunteers with us is background checked. So it's not just run-of-the-mill, hey, go into that school and talk.
Yes, okay.
There is a process that takes place.
Yeah.
But schools are the natural fit. It's word of mouth, right? Like I said, some schools are hesitant, but as soon as you, like for instance, I did a career day at my son's school in Anthem a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that career day I didn't necessarily talk about my career. I kind of used that opportunity to talk about character.
Yeah.
And I used Travis's story.
Yep.
And I was speaking to third graders, so there's levels of that story that you can say or that they can understand and process.
Yeah.
So you adjust that story, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. accordingly. But I used Travis and I used Pat Tillman, right?
Mm.
Local, obvious, right, hero, right? Yeah. And we had a great discussion with a bunch of third graders and we talked about appreciation of beauty and, you know, and just sacrifice, mm-hmm. and what that means. And it's a pretty powerful thing when you're looking at, in this case, 8 and 9 year olds really kind of understand. Or
the light bulb goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, never thought about that.
I'm sure that's really powerful.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Community service. Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like, it doesn't have to be a dramatic save someone's life action.
Yep.
It could just be, you know, helping out your friend in class.
Yeah.
With their homework or holding the door or just being polite. Mm-hmm. Right. Those are all if not me then who type of moments that go a long way.
Yeah, even the small things can make the hugest difference.
100%.
Absolutely.
That's a great thing to get the kids on board with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I can go on. We have a lot of other initiatives.
Go ahead. Please share some of the programs, the other additional programs and events that you guys do.
Yeah, so I'm going to skip over our Operation Legacy projects because that's something that we'll be
addressing in the next. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll address that here soon.
Yeah, but that's essentially community service. But what one... I talked about I have two favorites. It's the Character Does Matter program and our Honor Project, which happens all across the country on or around Memorial Day, where we have we mobilize our volunteers to go to the resting places of the fallen and pay their respects and visit. And we have a token that we have, which I brought, I can show you guys, that we place on the resting sites of these fallen heroes. And what does it do? It kind of just forces you to remember, right? There's that phrase, say their names and they never die. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in that. Mm-hmm. We talk about 9/11, never forgetting. Mm-hmm. Sadly, I think some people do. But also, I think there's a, people don't necessarily forget, but they just almost choose not to remember, mm-hmm. right? So like, yeah, I didn't forget about it, but I'm just not thinking about it, right? Events like that, in my opinion, are things that need to be thought about all the time.
Yeah.
Because they shape who we are, and they shape our world, and they shape our communities. So if you ignore them, you're ignoring reality, mm-hmm. and you're ignoring an important part of history. So ignoring or simply just not paying respects to these people that have served is a disservice.
Yeah.
So the Honor Project is a very powerful moment when you're at these national cemeteries, veteran cemeteries, and you're visiting all these resting places and pausing and reflecting and thinking and speaking, because it's something that people don't do.
Yeah.
Right? Or they do it for their own family.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for other families. And that's just as important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah,
puts a lot of that into perspective for people, I think.
Yeah. I think it's just a good acknowledgement practice, honestly, because like you said, I don't think when it's just your family, you're seeing so singularly, you know?
Yeah.
But then when you're given that opportunity to acknowledge the numbers and the significance of so many, you know, that's when it starts changing in people's minds. So,
yeah,
thank you. Thank you for sharing on that.
Of course.
So that does bring me to my next question for you, which is, of course, I touched on this a little bit in the intro, but we have developed this partnership with Travis Mannion Foundation Phoenix chapter because there's chapters all over the United States.
Yep.
But the Phoenix chapter the last couple of years has provided us the time and service of your volunteers in helping us prepare for our Veterans Day ceremony that we hold at Rio Vista Community Park each year. And last year it was just phenomenal to have the Travis Mannion Foundation there helping us do something. It seems simple, but it's not. It's very powerful. They were helping us prepare the facility for the ceremony. I mean, even just seeing the volunteers out there having rags to the honor wall and also our veterans memorial wall and wiping them down and just making them look beautiful, you know, which is how they should always look. But hanging our bunting that has red, white, and blue on it, and picking up trash, making the facility just look nice and presentable for a very special ceremony the following day was awesome. So I know we have that happening again this year. So last year was the first year. We have you guys coming out again, and it's called the Op Legacy Program, right? Okay. So I definitely want to have you explain more about what Op Legacy is, because even though I work in the department that puts this together, I honestly don't know a whole lot about Op Legacy Program with Travis Mannion Foundation. Yeah. So,
well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us there. We're super excited to be there again on November 10th. I was talking to Tad earlier about it. We currently have 41 people registered to be there.
Awesome.
And so between now and then, typically how people, there's always a flow of registrations right before the day.
Yep.
So that's a pretty big number for me.
Nice.
I just found that out about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
To have 41 people, still several weeks to go, that's going to be a big turnout.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
You nailed it when you say you don't know what Operation Legacy is, but everything you said is what it is. It's community service, but the important dynamic of it is that you're doing it in honor of a fallen hero.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm personally a big believer in, if you're going to do something for something other than yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're going to clean up a park, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But you might as well do it for something else too.
Yeah.
That's an easy ask, right?
Yeah.
Remember somebody, honor somebody, right? Show appreciation to something else, because you're mobilizing a group of people. And what's the point of a community of people if you're not going to do something about it?
Right.
right? We got all these people that want to help and want to give back. And now we have the power to mobilize them and do something good. Well, let's do something even gooder.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Let's do it in honor of Travis Mannion, in honor of a local fallen hero.
Yeah.
You know, a law enforcement officer that gave their life, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That's what the service project, Operation Legacy is, right?
Yeah.
A legacy, right?
Yeah.
Say their names, work service in their honor, be selfless in your thought, right? And give back to your community. And it could be cleaning up a veteran's wall. It could be cleaning up trash in your neighborhood. Could be a food drive. Could be backpacks. You know, could be whatever. You name it.
Yep.
And the foundation will support it in honor of a fallen hero.
Love that.
Yeah.
Circling back to the, if not me, then who?
Yeah.
You know?
It all seems to make sense.
Yeah.
And I think that ties into the next question pretty nicely. And I think... We have a lot in common, I think, as institutions, like that emphasis on in-person and virtual outreach to connect the community. What are some ways that you get the message out to veterans who might need some purposeful community programs that you offer? Do you have any sort of methods or specific avenues you know will generate the traffic you're looking for, like social media or even like specific businesses or anything like that that you could partner with?
I think the best way to do it is to go on podcasts in Peoria.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
Yes.
This is an example. But I've never done a podcast before, but this is a great example. Like, you guys are giving me a voice, right, to get out to the greater public. Mm-hmm. Other than things like this, right, social media is a big play, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook, specifically, we mentioned the Phoenix chapter. They have a very large audience on Facebook.
Yeah.
So anyone who's listening, who's not, you know, it's TMF Phoenix chapter is the group on Facebook. TMF Phoenix chapter. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram, it's the same thing, at TMF Phoenix chapter. So all our events, details, stories, you know, just connectivity kind of goes out via social media.
Yeah.
And then the website.
Yep.
Right? Of course.
Word of mouth, you know, experience, reputation.
That's Well, this is a good way to plug. You just gave us the information for your social media, and then the website is, what is it, TravisMannion.org. Just TravisMannion.org.
Yep.
Okay. So I think also for people who are wanting to continue to volunteer for this op legacy that we're talking about here in Peoria for our local listeners, we have some stuff that we're sharing on our social media as well. And there's still spaces available. I know that there's going to be a little barbecue, I think, on the before the service project gets started.
Yeah.
So it's a good opportunity to network with, you know, people who are there for the same reasons. They want to devote their time and connect in a meaningful way. So I think we'll cover more of the details. We do usually a recap at the end of the episode that just covers like time, place, and where you can get more information on that. So we'll do that at the end of this. But again, thank you so much for the volunteer service program, the Op Legacy, that helps Peoria make our Veterans Day ceremony beautiful and meaningful.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
So, Cammie, if I could just interject a little bit about the history that we have with Travis Mannion. I want to let, you know, one of our board members, Jessica Rosa, actually told us about the organization, and she was instrumental in really getting this deal going just a couple of years ago. So, and that's just what we do as our board. So I want to talk about that.
Yep.
I also want to let the viewers know that we're going to have Soldier's Best Friend there.
Yep.
And the MAC, which is the Military Affairs Committee for the Chamber of Commerce, they're actually helping to sponsor the barbecue to help with the Travis Mannion. So it's going to be a whole...
The food donation. I can remember being a part of this conversation. Yes,
collaborative thing. I just want to kind of give them credit for stepping up and making this event even better than it was last year. And that's what we try to do, I think, is we always try to do a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I even feel like that's what the city does. I mean, if you look at our veterans event on the 11th, that's what it's all about. How can we make it a little bit better each year?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for plugging that and giving that credit and those things, because I would have missed that. So thank you.
Yeah. We'll circle back around too again when we're closing up to just kind of, we got it in there, the listeners' heads now. We'll reiterate and reinforce that later on.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Okay. So let's take a look. Oh, yeah.
Poetry Corner?
Yeah. I think it might be time for Poetry Corner.
Poetry Corner.
I've got this really lovely poem from Alice Walker. She's a pretty prolific poet. It's called Lodestar, and I'll just begin, and we'll have some reactions if we have reactions.
Let's do it.
Here is what I believe will be the hardest thing to do, to remember that we have a soul. It is so quiet, the soul, and weighs almost nothing. It might flash across our dullest days only once or twice in a lifetime that it is there. Just the certainty of knowing must be our lodestar. Nice. A little brief, but I feel like it really resonates, just kind of reminding everybody, you know, of our humanity, regardless of, you know, our background, our experiences and everything. But any thoughts from y'all?
Yeah, I mean, exactly what you said, I agree with, and kind of, I don't know, did you guys select this on purpose?
Gabe selected this.
Yeah. I was looking through a bunch of poems, and I was like, I got to find one that feels right, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally appropriate, and, it, you know, the whole soul thing, right?
Yeah.
We all have a soul, we're all humans, and, you know, one thing I was going to say with Travis Manion Foundation is when you're bringing communities together and you're mobilizing people, these are people from all different walks of life, right? We're all different, right? We all have different beliefs, backgrounds, experiences, but what we do have is we're all humans, right? So if we just appreciate we all have a soul, we're all human beings, and we all have flaws, nobody's perfect, but if we can all understand that and move together as one, right? Mm-hmm. The world will be a better place.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of when I think about we have a soul, it's quiet, the world is very loud.
Yes.
But if we just step back and appreciate that, you know, we'll be better off.
Todd?
Oh, well, thanks, Cammie. what I thought about was, you know, a little bit different. I think sometimes our soul isn't settled. And everyone has a soul. I believe that there will be some people on there that you're talking right now thinking, no, not. I met people that don't have a soul. No, they have maybe an agitated soul or angry soul. But one thing I can tell you is that to give will correct that soul. Mm-hmm. It's something that you can do. It doesn't take much effort. Just get up and move.
Yeah.
And to give back will help your soul grow and become healthy, and it's just one of the best things that we can do as a human being. I really feel that way. And that's how it touched me, you know, and that's, you know, how I felt about that, about those words.
I love that. I love that you said there are so many unsettled souls, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that struck me in this poem is that I don't necessarily agree that the soul is quiet. I think that some people have a very loud soul, and so much so that it's, you know, I don't agree. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't think that the soul can always be quiet, but I do agree with you that we have a lot of unsettled souls. And I think that the lodestar is that remembering your soul is what gives you your purpose. And our purpose is a lot of the times what connects us to our humanity. And our humanity is respecting each other, connecting with each other, and that in itself is very applicable to exactly what we're talking about today, and that dedication to humanity. So those are my thoughts.
But I think that's wonderful, and I think Travis Manion, it's an organization that helps with finding their next mission, so to speak. Yeah. And one of the things that I always find out, especially it doesn't matter if they've been in for a day or 20 years like myself or longer, when in the military, we really have a purpose.
Right.
And that purpose is our mission. Yeah. Really simple, right? I love that. But when you get out, these guys and gals are lost.
Exactly.
A lot of them are lost.
Yeah.
And they're waiting. I always said this. They're always waiting for their next order.
Yep.
And I guess it makes me think about, you know, this guy that's maybe been out 30 years and he's still waiting for his orders. Mm-hmm. And so instead of working on his orders, he's working on drinking alcohol to cover, to mask, because he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so, and I see that almost every day. And that's why it's great to have an organization like Travis Manion that can help those type of people out.
Yeah.
To use that, it's almost as though, and Cammie, you speak about, the soul is loud, right? Mm-hmm. I think it can be, mm-hmm. but I think unfortunately sometimes it's locked up or buried down deep.
Yes.
Right? And masked. True. Right? Yeah. So when you lose that sense of purpose,
yep.
you're kind of losing your soul a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's there. Yep. It exists. It wants to come out. But how do I bring it out?
Yep.
Right? And it's important to recognize that service doesn't have to stop when, quote unquote, your service ends.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
That shouldn't stop. That's just a part of our human nature. Everyone needs a mission and a purpose to thrive.
Yeah.
Right. And yes, Travis Manning Foundation provides that opportunity, but there are countless other organizations that do as well and other opportunities to do that as well.
Yep.
You know, TMF doesn't own that, that objective, right?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
It just helps support it.
Yep. Yeah. I think it was perfect. And we can touch base a little bit more on some of the additional service organizations that also you're involved with, Tad. So,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your reflections. That was amazing.
Lovely discussion.
I know.
I'm getting really emotional from what y'all are saying.
I Jeez. Know.
As a little bit of a sign up for this section, I wanted to say, as members of our city's Arts, Culture, and Library Services Department, we love good poem. So thanks for joining us on that little diversion into the language arts. Next up, we wanted to kind of direct some questions toward you, Tad. We were very excited to have you on board for the show and wanted, you know, to provide our audience with your perspective as a veteran. So let's get started. And I can start unless you want to ask a question here.
Go ahead, Gabe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a simple question, but can you kind of start by telling us how you served? You kind of went over the basics in the beginning, but anything else you'd like to say about that?
So are you talking about my military service or afterwards?
Oh, military.
I would say, honestly, just how did you serve?
Yeah.
Like, it's quite simply, how did you get here?
Oh, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's family, obviously.
Yeah.
And when you get out and you're looking for family, you're looking for your next team, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that's why I got here. But, you know, when I was young, I had no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the generation I grew up with, when you turned 18, you were expected to get your butt out of the house.
Yep.
And so with that in front of me, college was an option. I had a scholarship. And I started working on journalism, actually. And my journalism professor walked up to me and said, "You're pretty young and you can write okay," right? Which was probably mean. I was pretty not a really good writer.
I don't believe that.
But anyways, he said, "You know, you ought to go see the world. Why don't you think about joining the Marines?" And so he put that little
bug in my ear.
And I didn't act on it right away.
Yeah.
I think it was just one of those days I got home and my dad was, you know, in a pissy mood. And and so I was like, you know, I'm out of here. I'm just going to walk down to the recruiter office. And I walked into the recruiting office and four doors were open, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine, all in one location. Mm-hmm. And I just looked up and I said, God's going to choose this for me. I said, the first person that calls me is the one I'm signing up with. That's how I became a Marine.
That's amazing.
So,
is it URA?
Yeah, we say URA.
Okay, I'm like, please make that be the right one. Yeah. URA.
I'm not going to speak for the Army.
Yeah,
but we'll talk later a little bit about that. Yeah. I'm sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah, just what got you here, you know?
Yeah, that's what got me here.
Okay.
We wanted to talk to you specifically about your crucial work with the Marine Distress Line, which from my understanding is a 24/7 support resource for Marines, helmed by Marines. Would you be able to discuss for our listeners just how necessary these kinds of resources and support systems are for veterans of all branches?
Yeah, so 2008, 2009, we saw a lot of suicides. We had more suicides in the military over across the board. This was all services, more than we saw in combat. And so it was going up. And so Congress was really looking at how can we change the tide here, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the Marines, I had just gotten out, and there's called the Marine for Life Network. And there was a gunnery sergeant that's on active duty that kind of works this area at that time. And he reached out to me knowing that I got out and said, "Hey, would you mind working on a commandant type program?" And so he talked to me about Tri-West Healthcare Alliance, going over there. They were looking for someone. And so this was to stem suicide. Mm-hmm. And we actually succeeded in that. A year later, we went in front of the Armed Forces Committee for Congress and were able to say the Marine Corps was the only service that actually went down in suicide rates. Wow. And the commandant at that time said it's directly related to the distress line. And so what I did is I piloted that program. So mm-hmm. I was basically the subject matter expert. So they said, hey, how would this work? How can we make this happen? Because if I've got a Marine call in, do I want to let his command know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I got to let him know. That Marine belongs to the Marine Corps. So there's a lot of pushback from the Marines. Mm-hmm. I don't want some retiree telling these kids what to do. That's my responsibility. And if you know Marine leadership at the highest levels, they are very arrogant sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be told what's right and what's wrong. So I had the backing of a general and that was in D.C. that I worked directly with. And so everything kind of flowed to him and then down. And so I would brief him on things that were happening to Marines. And we would make judgment calls. You know, there are times that I might have had a Marine with a 9mm in his mouth at the PX wanting to, you know, kill himself. And being able to talk him out of it, getting the MPs to get over there and tell the MPs, hey, you need to stand down. I'll let you know when it's okay. The way that we did that is I am not by far a clinician. So we made a part of what we did, and I think it was probably the first of its type, was I worked right next to a licensed clinical social worker, and she would have my ear. So as I'm talking to the Marine, she's telling me what to say and how to get this guy off the ledge. Mm-hmm. And in that time, we never had anyone take their life. We saved hundreds, because what happened was it started with the Marines. And then I started getting calls from other services, mm-hmm. the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. And thank God we had a CEO, Dave McIntyre, that runs TriWest Healthcare Alliance. He's still there today. Mm-hmm. He allowed me to take those calls too. So we ended up opening it up to all service members. And then it became for any veteran as well. And so when we had a veteran, we would always let them know at the veterans line mm-hmm. that we had someone. So there's always like a handoff.
Yeah.
But as far as active duty guys and gals, reservists, we would handle all that stuff. Wow. So it was a great program. Yeah. We had it for a little over 5 years. And then like all great programs, it doesn't have the priority anymore. And so that moves. And unfortunately it's coming back. And for me, looking back, I'm like, we've already done this before. Why are we back to square one?
Yeah.
You know, we've had great programs in the past. We know what to do, hopefully. And if they ask me, I'd be more than happy to work on that again. But mm-hmm. it was something that I was just happy to do, and I was happy that TriWest allowed me to take the reins and yeah. create this program from scratch and make it what it was. And so I could talk a lot about this too and give yeah. you lots of scenarios. Yeah. I know we've got a short podcast today, but
yeah.
Yeah, I was happy to do that, Gabe.
Yeah, that means a lot to me specifically. So thank you. Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much, Chad. And I think this kind of loops back to like, how did you serve? Like you continue to serve like even after your, you know, active duty in the military, like you are still serving to this day, which I think speaks a lot about who you are. And we're just so lucky to have you here in Peoria on, you know, helping us and helping our local community. But your reach is so much farther than I think, you know, even we realize. So thank you for sharing those stories. And I do hope that a resource like Distress comes back and that there will be a call to action for people to help. And we're always happy to spread the word. Yeah, so absolutely. Thank you. So I know you've been on the Peoria Veterans Board, I think you said since 2013, is yeah. that correct? Or somewhere around that time, 2013, 2014?
So,
several
yes.
years.
Yes.
Yeah. You've been around since like basically the beginning of it. And I think we kind of talked a little bit about what the Peoria Veterans Board does. And I know that that's evolved over the years because it used to be the Peoria Veterans Memorial Board. Now, yes. now we're Peoria Veterans Board. And I think that's just because your reach is getting further and further. It's not just the Peoria Veterans Memorial anymore. It's like this greater realm of, responsibility and work, correct? And so part of that is also making those connections like the Jessica Rosa with the Travis Mannion Foundation and these things that are actually making quite a big impact with how we honor veterans in our community.
Yeah, so there's a council member. He might not let me like me to. His first name might be Bill. But,
okay.
He told me right in the beginning. He said, "You know, Tad, I'm amazed at what has changed." He said, "We used to always argue about discounts at restaurants." That's what he would say. But I had no idea what they were doing because the very first day I showed up, they had to pick a board member to be the chair. And Anthony Irby, I just showed up. Like, this is my first day. Anthony Irby's like, "I want to elect Tad Snedeker to be the chairman." I don't even know what I'm doing. My first day.
Your reputation preceded you.
I guess. But I can tell you that my philosophy and what's changed is we've gone from a memorial to doing all kinds of things.
Yep.
And that's because I really firmly believe that I can't be everywhere.
Yep.
And so in order to be everywhere, I have people that are everywhere. So, for example, I have Mike Kirk that's with the Military Affairs Committee. Mm-hmm. He goes to the chamber meetings. I said, "Hey, Mike, I need you to do this." Okay. So he does that.
Yep.
I have another member that's with the VFW. He passes all the word so we can get that. I have another member that's with the American Legion. I have another member that's at the Trilogy of Estancia Club.
Yeah.
So they're all embedded so that I can spread the word when things like the community event that we're going to have on the 10th comes out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if there's a PACT Act that just got passed in Congress, I'm able to facilitate all those veteran organizations, either have a veteran come out there and help them do claims,
yep,
or even use our own facilities here in Peoria because, I don't know, Peoria just lets me do this.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, hey, they let me use the community center, you know, and I can have VA reps come over because of the connection I have with the senator.
Yep.
And so it's all about having people in the right places to make things happen for this great community. And of course, we don't turn anyone away. If someone from Glendale wants to come in, I don't care if they're Tempe, show up. We're here to help.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know all of that. I think it just shows that like the network is so much bigger than what we think, right?
Yes.
But thank you for being on the board. So we did recently learn that you are being inducted, right, into the AZ Veterans Hall of Fame for outstanding civic contributions beyond your military service, which I'm so happy that we've had this conversation because I think it gives our listeners and everybody just like a glimpse into what those civic contributions behind your military service really are, because you've shared some of that with us and there's still so much more. But first of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Congrats.
Awesome. And that happens on November 1st. Is that correct?
Yeah, November 1st. I'll be up there. I think 14 people, four of them have already passed.
Okay.
So it's a small group. I think there's only 500 active people that are still alive today out of a population of 500,000. So it's a percentage-wise, there's not a lot of us that get selected. And honestly, I've always been told I'm a little bit too humble. And that's because I really don't feel I deserve it. Because it really takes a team.
I don't think there's such thing as being too humble.
Good. It really takes a team to make things happen. Yeah. And I think I gave a good example of how I'm not everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
you're making the connections, and that's very powerful too. So that's incredible.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to continue to give.
You're kind of a big deal. Okay.
I didn't realize who this guy was next to me.
I know, right? Well, we really did want to acknowledge that and to congratulate you.
Well,
thank you for sharing your reflections on what that means to you and that the selection pool is so limited. I mean, honestly, everything you've shared today, which is just a small fraction of everything that you do, is significant and valuable and so much appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you, Cammie. Thank you, Gabe.
And so we wanted to kind of, before we left, wanted to give you both an opportunity to, tell folks why they should get involved and how they can get involved in supporting veterans with really any service organization, the Travis Mannion Foundation, of course, among others, and if you had any specific advice too for people to get involved.
Yeah, I'll start. We touched on the November 10th.
Op Legacy,
right?
Yep.
That's a perfect opportunity, Veterans Day event. incredibly important, as we've talked about and we know. It's an easy ask. It's an easy to do. You would register via our website, which is travismanion.org. Go to the events page. You can search nationwide.
Yeah.
That won't be the only one that comes up. There's legacy events and chapter events all over the country, all over Phoenix that take place. But that's an easy ask and such an important one. And then you just simply click on a link and you register. There'll be food there. It's a family-friendly event. Bring your kids. My son will be there. My wife will be with me. There's the barbecue we spoke about. And it's just a great way to engage in the community, engage with like-minded people. And that's the why, right? The why is, whether you realize it or not, when you serve, you're really serving yourself, right? It's kind of like the secret sauce, right?
Yeah.
When you empower yourself and you empower other people to give back, you're actually also helping yourself, right?
Yep.
So when you selflessly think of other people, you will selfishly get what you want in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think that's the why.
Yeah.
And think greater than the four walls of your home.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tad?
All right. Well, we did talk about Soldier's Best Friend, which is working with dogs and getting veterans dogs, which is a great organization. And your organization that helps the people to people.
Yep.
And I want to talk about another one that's just starting out. Amanda Tallman is the proprietor of First Page, www.firsttechpage.org. It's a volunteer-run nonprofit that provides equine-assisted learning programs for veterans, first responders, and kids, helping them build resilience and grow through hands-on work with horses. By developing emotional awareness, communication, and leadership skills, participants can overcome personal challenges and move forward with confidence. How can you help? So this is for our listeners out there. If you want to volunteer, whether you're experienced with horses or want to assist with programs and organizations, we'd love their help. Donate. Even $5 can make a difference for a veteran, first responder, or child in need. Spread the word. You might know someone who could benefit from our services or volunteer their time. So their phone number is 602-717-5255. Again, 602-717-5255. And it's Amanda Tallman of First Page.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds like it's a great resource, again, among many. And definitely look up, you know, local nonprofits and local chapters of any sort of support.
Veteran service organizations. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I think that might be all the time we have. Again, we want to thank you both so much for your time.
Yes.
Giving us a great conversation and great information for everybody, by the way. Any parting thoughts, plugs, social medias you want to kind of reiterate again before we wrap up?
I mean, travismanion.org for all the information, TMF Phoenix chapter on Facebook and Instagram, and just
perfect
give back. That's all.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have to say it. One of the things that brought up some emotion with me today was talking about 9/11 and how we forgot about that. Something that I personally experienced and have been involved with was the Oklahoma City bombing, April 19th, 1995. And that we forget about way too much. I know it was domestic terrorism. It wasn't someone from outside our country. But again, it was our first major terrorist attack on soil. And so the 30th anniversary is coming up in April. And just remember those young children. And people that listen and they do things wrong and they get angry and they take actions in their own hands where that's not the right way to do things. And unfortunately, that was one of our own, a veteran at that. And so, you know, for veterans out there, come out, engage in your community, see the greater parts of life. Don't soak in whatever you hear from social media because they're going to lead you in a way that is going to lead you astray. And we might have that same type of attack again. And I hope that never happens. So those are,
absolutely.
I just wanted to end on that.
That's well said.
Thank you, Tad. Thank you, Joe and Tad. We loved having you today.
Yes. Thank you again. And also, we wanted to thank our listeners and, of course, all of our veterans. Thank you so much for your service. We hope to hear you here soon when we talk about our programming and events that are upcoming. We have a few things for Veterans Day that you'll be looking forward to. Thank you so much for listening to our special episode. And we're going to go, me and Cammie are going to give you the upcoming programming events and closures. First, I'll start with our library programming events and closures. So on Saturday, November 2nd, which is tomorrow, the day after this podcast going live from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunrise Mountain Library is putting on our first annual Fantasy Fest. Join us at Sunrise Mountain Library for a magical journey through a wondrous fantasy realm. This free event will offer fantasy movie and book trivia, a magical creature trading card craft, face painting, tons of local vendors, and a dragon's hoard of so much more. Don your finest family-friendly fantasy cosplay. Party up with your most loyal allies and venture forth to Fantasy Fest at Sunrise Mountain Library. Now, as a heads up, in observation of Veterans Day, Monday, November 11th, both library branches will be closed. So just remember, again, return your items the following day when the book drop is open and we're also open. We're also going to be having two musical performances put on by the Central Arizona Flute Ensemble on Saturday, November 23rd, called Cafe Flutes. Come by the Sunrise Mountain Library at 11 a.m. or the main library at 3 p.m. for an hour-long, interactive, informative, and free concert. And finally, for November, we wanted to remind you of our Thanksgiving and Black Friday closures. So the libraries will close at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, November 27th, and we'll be closed completely Thursday 28th through Friday the 29th, reopening on Saturday 30th. As always, with the library closures, as I stated before, remember that our outside book drops will be closed, so don't worry about returning anything until we're open again. And I'll pass it on to Cammie.
So though the city offices will be closed in honor of Veterans Day, we will be having the Peoria Veterans Day ceremony on Monday, November 11th from 8 to 9 p.m. at Rio Vista Community Center. Please join us as we recognize veterans who have served in the U.S. military by adding their name and service details to the honor wall. And as we discussed in this episode with the Joe of the Travis Mannion Foundation, in preparation for this event, on November 10th at 1 p.m., the Travis Mannion Foundation Phoenix chapter will be conducting the OP Legacy Service Project to help get the park and community area ready for their Veterans Day ceremony at the Honor Wall. A barbecue lunch will be offered before the start of the cleanup project. If you are interested in participating in this volunteer opportunity, you can register at travismannionfoundation.org. If you're interested in getting more information just on the Veterans Day ceremony in general, you can also visit peoriaaz.gov/events. Saturday, November 16th, we will have two locations for a free document shredding event from 8 a.m. to 12. You can come by Centennial High School for just document paper shredding or to Peoria Sports Complex for electronics recycling and paper shredding services. So see our website for more details on their guidelines at peoriaaz.gov. Lastly, Thursday, November 28th, Gabe covered some closures already, but think we will be closed for Thanksgiving. And I think that covers it. Is that right? Okay. We'll see you later.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Next time you can catch Jenny and Patrick for another great episode on November 15th. And don't forget to check our show notes for links to our website, events calendar, and social media. Until next time, this has been What's Up Peoria. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.